Well, as we've just been talking about, technology companies are calling for the federal government to amend its controversial encryption bill. The laws give security agencies greater powers to get the encrypted messages of criminal and terrorist suspects in services like WhatsApp. But Australia's technology industry says laws damage the reputation and bottom line of companies. Atlassian's Scott Farquhar is one company boss who's vowing to fight back as Parliament resumes next week. Ariel Bogle is ABC's technology reporter with the Science Unit, and she's joined me in the studio. Hi, Ariel.
Good morning, Kathy.
Now, you were at that conference. What are the bottom line concerns for the startup sectors about these laws?
Yeah, it was very interesting being in the room with all the Sydney startup scene and members like Scott Farquhar of Atlassian. The mood in the room was one, I think, still of outrage that these laws were passed. There were a lot of accusations that the Australian startup industry was not adequately consulted about these laws.
In fact, I think I heard Scott Farquhar say that Atlassian wasn't even approached.
That's right. And in fact, Senatus, which is a leading encryption service built in Australia, it, you know, runs encryption services for governments around the world. They also say they were never consulted by the Australian government. And I have put this question to Home Affairs, who wrote this bill in the past, and they did say they consulted widely, but it seems like they may have consulted with the big tech companies. I know they travelled over to California to have meetings, but it looks like they perhaps overlooked or failed to talk to Australia's tech industry. And that's where the concern is, because these companies say that the law, even if it wasn't intended to hurt them, is. It's damaging their reputation. People in the room yesterday were saying that they have fielded inquiries from customers overseas about whether they can trust Australia's services now, because there could be a quote-unquote backdoor built into a service, they said, and under the law, because it has very strict secrecy provisions, they would never be able to really tell customers. And so this is the kind of milieu in which they're operating, and they want to fight back. They want to tell the government how this is impacting them. And I think they have various plans in that direction, including a letter that's being sent to various MPs.
Paul Shetler just then talked about companies, him being aware of companies not wanting to invest in Australia or changing their plans because of these laws. Have you heard similar?
I've heard similar chatter. I mean, I haven't actually come across yet a contract that was explicitly lost due to these laws. But as we saw yesterday, Brad Smith, that Microsoft VP who is visiting Australia at the moment, he was talking about the reputational damage to Australian tech as well. So I think we'll see more questions. And I certainly know that companies are fielding concerned inquiries from overseas customers. And that's, you know, one reason why they want an overhaul of these laws. Some people want them repealed entirely.
Paul Shetler.
Yes, of course. But people like Scott Farquhar want at least, at the very least, some tweaks. So a strict definition of systemic weakness. And why that's relevant is the law says that law enforcement can't ask a technology company or a telecommunication company to build a way of accessing messages that would introduce a systemic weakness. So a weakness across all their products, for example. And there's a lot of quibbling about what systemic weakness actually means. Labor wants a specific definition, and there we'll have to see next week when Parliament resumes whether some of those amendments from Labor and the tech sector as well, whether they get up.
And what was the reaction to Labor's plan, given that they had supported these laws?
Well, Ed Husic, to his credit, was the only politician in the room yesterday at this industry forum. There was nobody from the government or other parties. Of course, the Greens have been vocal in their opposition to these laws throughout. But Ed Husic did acknowledge that, yes, these laws were passed with Labor's help on the last sitting day of the year, as you mentioned. But he ran through a couple of different changes that Labor wants. For one thing, although you would need a warrant to access somebody's communications, that's a standing bit of law. At the moment, the legislation does not require a warrant to be issued for police to go to, say, Facebook and ask them, can you build this special way of getting at this person's messages? No warrant required there. And Labor wants a warrant, so a sort of a judicial system put in place there. And they want some other tweaks of oversight, a dedicated judicial officer to oversee a lot of these notices. They also want an inquiry into the economic impact of these laws. And that's really important here too, because as I've mentioned, these startups are saying these laws are already having a significant impact on their potential customer base. And so there is an economic problem here about whether we are sort of hobbling Australia's startup industry, which, although it's small, it's developing and will be certainly an important part of the economy going forward.
And Ariel, just on Facebook, we heard a little earlier about Facebook's plan to ban praise, support and representation of white nationalism and separatism from its site and on Instagram. These are big platforms, but will this ban have any effect given the ability for this material to be shared? And I guess that difficulty around definition?
Absolutely. Well, I do think this is a very welcome step from Facebook, perhaps an overdue one, but welcome nonetheless. I think Facebook has a very important position in the ecosystem about exposure to extreme ideology like white supremacy and white nationalism. It is important that we put more barriers in between people getting exposed to such ideas. There are a lot of Facebook groups, Facebook pages, which you might come across and think, oh, it's a political page about some sort of, you know, side of politics. And you go down that rabbit hole and exposed to more and more ideas around white nationalism. But it's certainly not the only sort of spoke in the wheel. I think Facebook might act as a sort of introduction to these ideas and in some cases, you know, really supports those communities. So it's good that Facebook's taking this step. But we need to be sure to look holistically. Of course, for dedicated members of white nationalist movements, there are other places on the internet.
And Ariel, do you think that this change by Facebook will address the government concerns around live streaming?
Perhaps not. As Paul Shetler mentioned, there's a lot of debate here about whether a ban on live streaming, well, a sort of tweak on live streaming or a greater ability to moderate it is practicable. So I think when we saw the Christchurch video, for example, start spreading on that day, on the Friday, it wasn't just the fact that a Facebook failed to remove it quickly, although it really should have. It did stream for about 17 minutes and another 10 minutes on top of that before it was flagged by somebody. But the media plays a part in this and humans play a part too, because immediately once there was knowledge about the video, the media started mentioning it.
Some played it.
There's an idea here about the fact that the media previews this kind of content and sort of hides it, says, well, look, there's a video out there, but we can't show it to you. It's too explicit. And what do humans do? They want to go witness
it. We're curious.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that one pans out. Thank you so much, Ariel.
Thank you.
Ariel Bogle is our technology reporter with the ABC Science Unit.